Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey!
Hey!
I don't know about you. The ones are here, ones watching at home. Isn't God good? Amen. Isn't God amazing?
Amen.
Amen. We praise Him for His goodness to us, right? And what can we do with it? What can we do with the gift that we've been given? Hey, I'm going to tell you what. The best thing we can do with it is tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's the best thing that we can do with everything that we've been given here. Amen. Your title today is this: Walking Worthy of Our Calling. Walking worthy of our calling. He is the bread of life. God truly is the bread of life. Amen. How many of y'all glad y'all got Him for your bread today?
Amen.
Amen. So, we're going to get into this here in a second. I'm going to go ahead and give you your first scripture. It's going to come from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, NIV version, says it this way. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. One God and Father of it all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He took my captives and gave gifts to His people. What does He ascended mean? Except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions as well. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Sounds like all of us, don't it?
Amen.
To equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness, I'll get that word out, of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking of truth and love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, and that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its own work. Amen. How many of y'all know we are each a part of God? We're each a ligament and a finger, a hand and a finger of God. Amen. That calls us to do our work for Him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask You right now, Lord, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Allow Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, may it be You that get all glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Lord, may You open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that You have for us today, Lord. Lord, may each one of us get a new sense of our calling, Lord. The new sense of the bread of life that we get from You today, Jesus. Lord, we ask You to be with us through the rest of the service. In Your name I pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we're going to talk about something good. Amen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? Today we're going to gather and reflect on this powerful message from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 calls for unity, calls for maturity, and calls for growth in the body of Christ. It challenges us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. Let us open our hearts and our minds today to the wisdom of these verses and seek to understand how we can each live out that calling, each one of our callings on a daily, in our daily lives. Amen? The first thing we got, verses 1 through 6, is a call to unity. Paul begins by urging us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling by which you have been called. This calling itself is a divine invitation to live as God's chosen people. Not as the world, not as Satan, not as everybody else would tell you you should be living. Amen? But a divine invitation to live as God's chosen people. To walk worthy in this calling, Paul himself emphasizes this. He emphasizes humility. He emphasizes gentleness. He emphasizes patience. And what? Bearing with one another. Amen? Bearing with one another in love. These virtues are truly the foundations of unity within the church, aren't they? Paul reminds each one of us that there is only one body and one spirit. Amen? Just as we are called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen? And one God, one Father of it all. This unity is not just a goal, is it? But it's a reality grounded in the very nature of our loving, compassionate God. Our task is to maintain and live out that unity in our relationships with one another. The second thing we learn from these passages in verses 7 through 12, Paul speaks of the diversity of the gifts given to each believer in Christ. He has given grace to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Amen? These gifts are varied and include apostles, prophets. They include evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Amen? The purpose for these gifts is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the true body of Christ. Amen? Each of us have been uniquely gifted by God. Hey, trust me, my gifts are not the same as your gifts. We may have some overlapping, amen? But some of our gifts, I might not have and you do, amen? But you're uniquely gifted for each one of us, amen? These gifts are not for our own glory, though, are they? But for the edification of the church. When we use our gifts in service to one another, we contribute to the growth and the health of the body of Christ, don't we? The diversity of gifts working together in harmony is a beautiful expression, isn't it? Of unity that we're called to maintain through our lives. Amen? The third thing we get out of this, verses 13 through 16, the maturity and the growth in Christ that Paul sees. Paul's vision for the church is that we maintain and attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This maturity itself involves us growing in our understanding of Christ, don't it? And becoming more like Him, amen? In character and in actions, to where we truly live Christ-like each and every day without even a second thought to it, amen? Rather than listening again to what the devil and the world would tell you you need to live like. He warns the Ephesians against being children tossed to and fro, don't he? By the waves. He warns us about being carried away or about by every wind of doctrine. Instead, each one of us, we are to speak the truth in love. Amen? And to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Then each part of our body, or when each part of our body is working properly, it makes the body itself grow so that it builds itself up in love. And we can share that love with others. Amen? So a couple different applications for you. As we reflect on this passage, let's consider how we can apply these principles in our own lives. The first thing we can do is pursue unity. We can strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We can cultivate humility. We can cultivate gentleness. We can cultivate patience in each one of our interactions with others. Amen? We can use our gifts. We've got to recognize and use the gifts that God has given each one of you for the edification of the church. Not for self, not for Ronnie, not for you watching online. Amen? But for God. For the edification of God and the church. We can serve one another in love, knowing that our contributions are vital to the health of the body. And the other thing we can do is an application purpose. We can grow in that maturity. Commit to growing in your knowledge of Christ and becoming more like Him. Having a Christ-like walk each and every day that we're on this earth. Seek to understand sound doctrine, not fake and false doctrine. Amen? And seek, each one of us, to speak the truth in love. Amen? In Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, Paul paints a picture of a church that is united. A church that is diverse. And a church that is mature. This vision is not just an ideal, but a calling for each of us to live out, isn't it? Let us commit our walk to walk, our worthy walk, to our calling. Use our gifts to the building of the body and growing into maturity in Christ. In doing so, we will reflect the unity and the love that glorifies our God and draws others out to Him. Your second scripture today is going to come from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 24 through 35. John 6, 24 through 35. The NIV version says it this way. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking Me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him, God the Father has set His seal." Then they said to Him, "What must we do? What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. So they said to Him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Amen. There was a search for Jesus, wasn't there? There was a search. The crowd was earnestly seeking Jesus. How many of us do that today? Amen. They had witnessed His miracles, particularly the feeding of the 5,000. Their search for Jesus, however itself, was driven by their physical needs. They wanted more of the bread that filled their stomachs. Amen. We all like a good stomach full, don't we? Amen. But what bread are we truly seeking for today? That mirrors our own lives, don't it? We often seek Jesus for the immediate, don't we? The tangible benefits that we can receive and feel right now. It's not wrong to bring our needs to Him, is it? But if we seek Him only for what He can do for us materially, earthly, we miss the deeper spiritual nourishment that He offers, don't we? We got to look at the temporal versus the eternal. Jesus challenges the crowd and us today, amen, to shift our focuses from temporal to the eternal. He tells them, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures eternal life." That statement itself calls each one of us to evaluate our priorities, don't it? As we investigate our time, our energy, and our resources in pursuits that have eternal significance, Jesus offers something far greater than temporary belly satisfaction, don't He? He offers each one of us eternal life, eternal bread for our lives. Amen? We also see the work of God in the Scripture. The crowd asked Jesus what they must do to perform the works of God. And Jesus' response to them is profound, isn't it? "This is the work of God. That what? That you believe in Him who He has sent." Meaning Him, right? Meaning Jesus is telling them, you got to believe in me. In order to get to God, you got to believe in me. Because I'm the one that He sent. Amen? Our primary work as believers is to have faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about earning our way to God, is it? Through deeds. Amen? But it is about us trusting in the one He has sent. Faith in Jesus as Himself is the foundation for our spiritual lives. We also see the true bread from heaven. The crowd refers to it to the manna that their ancestors ate in the wilderness, don't they? And they ask Jesus for a sign. And Jesus clarifies, don't He, that the true bread of heaven is not in the manna given through Moses, but the true bread of heaven is in Jesus Himself. Amen? He is the bread of God who comes down from heaven and gives us life to the world. Jesus Himself is not just another miracle worker, is He? He is the source of life itself. And we truly see Him as the bread of life. Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is a powerful promise, isn't it? In Jesus, our deepest spiritual hungers are satisfied. He meets us in our needs, don't He? He meets our need for meaning. He meets our need for purpose. And He meets our need for fulfillment. Amen? When we come to Him, and when we believe in Him, He fills the void in our hearts, that big circle that's missing in our hearts, and quenches our spiritual thirst, don't He? As we reflect on this passage today, let us examine our own lives. Are we seeking Jesus for the right reasons? Are we prioritizing the eternal over the temporary? Are we placing our faith in Him as the true bread of life? Jesus invites us to come to Him, don't He? To believe in Him, no one else but Him. Amen? And to be eternally satisfied. Let us respond to His invitation and find our true substance in His bread of life. May the Lord bless each one of us and empower us to live out this calling that He calls to us. As we get ready for our final call, song, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to us as the true bread of life that we should seek each and every day, Lord. Lord, help us seek Him with all of our hearts. Help us trust Him, or trust in Him for all of our spiritual nourishment. May we prioritize the eternal over the temporary. May we find true satisfaction in Your presence, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen.